day, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tensions are on the rise in the Middle East, where Tehran's nuclear agency announced that in 10 days it will exceed the amount of enriched uranium it's allowed under the 2015 nuclear deal. Iran's announcement pressures Europe to try to salvage the pact it helped negotiate along with the Obama administration, but which Trump rejected last year. The president and his national security team say military options are on the table while they asked for, quote, increased international pressure on Iran. The Pentagon, of course, is doing its part, announcing it will dispatch an additional 1,000 troops in response to these recent attacks on oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman that the United States is blaming on Iran. These 1,000 troops are in addition to the reinforcements of 1,500 personnel sent to the region late last month, along with a USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier battle group. Donald Trump said in a tweet Monday night that U.S. immigration agents are planning to make mass arrests starting, quote, next week, in an apparent reference to a plan in preparation for months that aims to round up thousands of migrant parents and children in a blitz operation across major U.S. cities. Quote, next week, ICE will begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens who have illicitly found their way into the United States. They will be removed as fast as they come in, Trump tweeted. U.S. officials with knowledge of the preparations have said in recent days that the operation was not imminent, and ICE officials said late Monday night that they were not aware that the president planned to divulge their enforcement plans on Twitter. Fact check time. There's no way ICE can deport, quote, millions of people in the near term. In fiscal year 2012, at its peak, the agency deported 409,849 individuals. In 2017, the first year for which we have partial data under Trump, that number was 226,119. Just keeping them honest. Freshman Congresswoman Katie Porter of California posted a new video online in which she explains why she is now supporting an impeachment inquiry.
I've reached a point of clarity in my decision. Congress must continue the work of Special Counsel Mueller. In his report and public remarks, Director Mueller emphasized that under current law, he did not have the option to indict the president. But despite the limits of his authority, the special counsel was clear that he could not exonerate the president, and he presented extensive evidence of obstruction of justice that requires continued investigation by Congress. The administration has refused to respect the rule of law. They have ignored multiple subpoenas. They've directed current and former high-ranking officials to disregard summons to testify, and the president has continued his efforts to spread mistrust of our law enforcement, contempt for our journalists, and false information about the law, Director Mueller's findings, and basic uncontested facts. The question is not whether a crisis is in our midst, but rather whether we choose to fight against it.
Only two Democrats in Republican districts have called for impeachment proceedings. The other is Congressman Tom Malinowski, a former Obama State Department official who represents New Jersey's 7th District. The Supreme Court is nearing the end of its current term and is expected to hand down a flurry of big opinions in the final days of June. On Monday, we got two. First, the justices ruled against the Virginia House of Delegates in a racial gerrymandering case that represented a victory for Democrats in Virginia. In a case that only had implications for Virginia, in a 5-4 ruling, the court found that the state house didn't have the standing to appeal a lower court ruling that found that new district maps must be used ahead of the 2020 elections. Those new maps are already in use. Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote for the majority, which included the unusual bedfellows of Justices Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch. The other case for which we got a decision on Monday deals with double jeopardy. And it wasn't the outcome Paul Manafort and others implicated in Trump's web of crime and corruption were hoping for.
The Supreme Court here upholding this exception, which basically says that state and federal prosecutors can bring charges against one person for the same underlying crime without violating the double jeopardy clause. This was actually a challenge brought by an Alabama man, a convicted felon, who was charged for possessing a weapon both by the feds and the state. But the Supreme Court was very reluctant to do away with this doctrine since it is such a long-standing exception here. If the challengers had succeeded, it could have provided somewhat of an opening for Paul Manafort. You'll remember that within really minutes of Paul Manafort being sentenced in Washington, D.C. for those federal crimes, the Manhattan District Attorney brought charges against Paul Manafort in New York State for mortgage fraud crimes. Paul Manafort could have potentially argued that he couldn't be brought in both federal court and state court, but the Supreme Court essentially putting that to rest, this separate sovereign's exception will stand, that state and federal prosecutors can, in fact, bring charges that result from the same underlying offense without violating the double jeopardy clause.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I really can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.